الرحمن الرحيم.
وعن جابر بن سمورة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: صليت مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم العيدين غير مرة ولا مرتين بغير أذان ولا إقامة. رواه مسلم ونحوه في المتفق عليه عن ابن عباس وغيره.
جزاك الله خير. Okay. So this hadith is narrated by Jabir ibn Samura رضي الله عنه. Jabir was one of the noble companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said, صَلَّيْتُ مَعَ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ الْعِيدَيْنِ. So this Sahabi, he used to pray the Eid prayer with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he observed the way that the Eid prayer was done. And during this time that he prayed the Eid prayers with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that more than once or twice that there was no adhan and no aqama. No iqam. So the Eid prayers, the Muslims, we only have two Eids in Islam. There's no other Eid. There's no other holiday. Some people, they add on other holidays, or they make up other holidays. Eid, Milad al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Or they say Eid, Isra al-Miraj, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did the ascension. Or the day that he was born. Or they make other Eids that were not part of Islam. So the Prophet ﷺ, in another hadith, he said he cancelled out all of the holidays that they had in Medina. They used to have a yearly festival where they would do business and trade. He cancelled all those holidays out. And he said that the Eids that we have are only the two. Allah has replaced those Eids with better than them. The Eids of the Jahiliyyah. So the Eids that we have in Islam, there are how many Eids? Two Eids. And the way that the Eid prayer is done is that it's the time for the Eid prayer is after sunrise until the Zawal. Zawal is when the sun is at its zenith. Between that time, the Eid prayer can be done. Any time in between. Many ulama are of the view that Eid prayer is wajib. Some of them, they say it's sunnah. And the Prophet ﷺ commanded even the women and the young girls to come to the Eid prayer. The young girls that normally are veiled and they don't come out of the house. He commanded them to come out, even the menstruating women. And they should share in the du'as and the blessings of that day, but they should not pray, actually come to the prayer area where they're praying, but they should still share in the joy of that day. The Eid prayer, it begins with the prayer first, then the khutbah. The Jummah, it begins with the khutbah first and then the prayer. The way the Jummah began at first, the Jummah, it was also prayer first, then the khutbah. That was the way it was initially in the beginning. They would pray the prayer first and then the khutbah would begin afterwards. And then an event took place where some of the Sahaba, they had heard, prayed the Salah, and then they were listening to the khutbah, and then one of the caravans came. Caravans that had all the products, the new products that just came, the items in the trade list. So when they heard the caravan coming, all of them took off. And they left Prophet Muhammad ﷺ standing there giving the khutbah. Only a few sahaba stayed. They all left in the middle of the khutbah. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verses about the last verse of Surah Al-Jum'ah. وَإِذَا رَأَوْ تِجَارَةً أَوْ لَهْوًا انْفَضُّوا إِلَيْهَا وَتَرَكُوكَ قَائِمًا. If they hear the business, the sounds of business, the sound of money, then, or the fooling around, lahu, like the games of foolishness, they run away and they do those things and they leave you standing. They leave you standing there all alone. This is what happened actually at that time. But we can make an excuse because these are the Sahaba, the best of people. That was at the time when the prayer was first. So the prayer was obligatory and the staying for the khutbah was optional. So they didn't do a sin, but they placed the priority on getting the business, the caravan. They wanted to be the first one to the caravan. انْفَضُّوا إِلَيْهَا وَتَرَكُوكَ قَائِمًا. They left you standing. قل ما عند الله خير من الله ومن التجارة. Say that which is with Allah is better than the foolishness, fooling the pastimes, the entertainment. Lahu literally in Arabic means entertainment. Games, football, basketball, or television, movies. It's called lahu in Arabic, entertainment. Actually, it means, literally, it means distraction. Distracting a person. It's interesting, I was listening to one sheikh. He said that sometimes in Arab countries, they translate things literally. They don't know how to translate it properly. They just take the literal dictionary translation. So they translated lahu, which in Arab means like a game or something like that. They translate it as distraction. It's a very literal meaning of it. So actually what happens is the entertainment distracts a person from the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, games and pastimes and video games and things like that. Lahu should not be, it's a permissible and if, as long as it doesn't take a person away from what is required. A person does not fool around during times of seriousness. For example, the time of Jummah khutbah, a person is doing business, or they're doing the entertainment, that's not right. If it's time for the required salah, the person is busy, and it happens to many people, they're busy watching a movie, and they get so engrossed in the movie, they forget about their salah. They only realize afterwards, so then this is not allowed. But it's allowed in order to refresh the heart and the mind to get more energy to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some moderate amount of entertainment will allow a person to renew and refresh his energy to go back and work harder during the times of seriousness. And that's like the Eids, for example. We have the Eids, it's time for visitation and, you know, enjoying and having a festival. The Prophet ﷺ, he allowed the Ethiopians to dance during the Eid with the spears. But it should not be taken as the goal of one's life. It's a means, not a goal in itself. Entertainment is not the goal, but it's the means by which we achieve our goal in life, which is more serious. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. So here, sallaytu ma'a an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam al-eidain. So the eids, there are two in Islam. The eid of fitr, after Ramadan, and the eid of adha, the breaking of the fast. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, by the bounties of Allah, قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِي فَبِذَلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُ. By the blessings of Allah and His bounty, then celebrate that. So we always celebrate, in Islam, we celebrate getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, in other religions, they celebrate personality. This person's birthday, they celebrate. This person, this event, they celebrate. For in Islam, we celebrate the blessings of Allah about it. When we worship Him and we earn His pleasure, then we have an Eid based on that. An Eidain. غَيْرَ مَرَّةٍ وَلَا مَرَّةٍ. So he said this happened many times. I had the Salah with the Prophet ﷺ, and he didn't do that Adhan. So adding the Adhan to those prayers would be going against the Sunnah. Even when we say, what's wrong with the Adhan? It's the word dhikr of Allah. Adhan is good. But you have types of bid'ah. There's different types of bid'ah, scholars say. There's bid'ah in the action itself, which is an action that was not prescribed in Islam. And you have bid'ah in the quantity that's being done. So for example, reciting a dhikr that's prescribed, like La ilaha illallah, but reciting a fixed number, like 66 times after every prayer, that's a bid'ah in quantity. The dhikr itself is prescribed, but the quantity is not prescribed. And you have bid'ah a place. You know, a person can do, if he does it always after every salah, he does a certain dhikr. And it's a bid'ah a place that wasn't prescribed to be done always on that place. And so you have different types of bid'ah. Bid'ah might be, the action might be not prescribed, like for example the dancing, the whirling during the dhikr of Allah. Sometimes they have the people, they spin around in circles. So this is a type of bid'ah in action. Because it was not done by the Prophet ﷺ nor the righteous companions that they stood in a circle and they danced around in a circle. So that's the bid'ah of action. Or you can have bid'ah of time and place, where the action itself is prescribed, but the thing, the way it's done, or the way, the manner that which it's done is not from the sunnah. So the Eidain. So also on the Eid, when we have the permissible celebration of the Eid, it shouldn't be an excuse to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people say it's Eid, they abandon praying in the masjid. It's Eid, they have intermixing between men and women. The relatives come over, female cousins or relatives, they shake hands with the men. They say, it's Eid, it's okay, we can shake hands, it's Eid. It's very common. Some cultures, very, very surprising, like, you know, I don't want to mention the countries. Certain countries, the men shake the hands with the women on Eid. They don't, completely strangers to each other. As if it's not, you know, because it's part of the culture, as if it's nothing. You know, they shake the hands and things like that.
If there was a lady who taught me Quran from the time I was young, she still lives in the States, from my country, and she saw me at a wedding about 4 months ago. And when she saw me, in front of everyone, she came up to me and gave me a big hug.
Allahu Akbar.
Well, I couldn't move out with this. I turned so red in my face.
Yes,
pinched my cheeks and she goes, you're still shy.
La ilaha illallah.
This is my Quran teacher. I'm like,
subhanallah.
One of my Quran teachers.
Yes.
But yeah, they do have in certain cultures.
And you know, certain occasions like weddings, and you know, weddings for example became an excuse to listen to music and undress. The Eids, excuse for mixing and shaking hands and undressing also, you see that. And so, you know, there's still the limitations, the Sharia is still always there, even during the weddings and celebrations, you know, on the days of Eid. You know, so, you know, these are things that one should bear in mind, you know, that the entertainment is allowed in Islam, but within the proper Sharia limits. You know, not to go beyond those limits and violate the hudud of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. بِلَا بِغَيْرِ أَذَانٍ وَلَا إِقَامَةٍ. So there's no adhan for the Eid prayer, and there's no iqama for the Eid prayer. Can they announce الصَّلَاةُ جَامِعَةٌ, the prayer has gathered? Some ulama, they allowed it by making analogy with the eclipse prayer. And the Prophet ﷺ, he commanded one of the Sahaba during the eclipse prayer. You know, there's a prayer for the eclipse, lunar and solar eclipse, there's a special prayer. So they would announce, they wouldn't make adhan, they would say, As-salatu jami'ah, the prayer has gathered, the prayer has gathered, and people would gather together to do the eclipse prayer. But for the Eid prayer, some scholars, they allow saying that as an analogy with the eclipse prayer. But other ulama, they said, no, this is not a good analogy, because the Eid prayer is done on a regular basis. And if the Prophet ﷺ were to do the adhan and the iqama on a regular basis, twice every year, it would have been reported to us. Whereas the Eid is a rare event that takes place once in a while, so it should not be any particular call to prayer. However, if they do that, there is some room for allowing, because some of the ulama didn't allow that. So like in Mecca, Medina, they say that on Eid prayer sometimes, I believe they say Salatul Jami'ah. So it's allowed. Some of the ulama allowed it. Now, بغير إقامة بغير أذان ولا إقامة. So there's no adhan and iqama. People, they gather, they do the prayer first, then the khutbah after the prayer. The prayer is, the way the Eid prayer is done is 7 takbirs in the first rak'ah. Some scholars, they included the initial takbiratul ihram. Some of them said the takbiratul ihram is separate, and then 7 more after that. Some of them said 7 including the takbiratul ihram, and some of them said 1 the takbiratul ihram and 6 more afterwards. So it'll be either a total of 7 or 8 takbirs. If you can either add 7 more after the takbirat al-ihram, so how many will make? 8 takbirs in the first rak'ah. Or you can add 6 more after the takbirat al-ihram, and the total will be 7 in the first rak'ah. Second rak'ah is 5 more takbirs after the takbir of coming up from the rak'ah. Allahu Akbar, saying the takbir 5 times. And it's 2 rak'ahs for both of the Eid prayers to pray the same way. The khutbah after the Eid prayer, is it required or optional?
Required.
The khutbah of Jummah, the scholars say, is, you know, a person they have to attend it. If they're there, they shouldn't talk or anything. It's haram to leave. But during the khutbah of Eid, actually the scholars say it's not required to stay. A person can leave, but they shouldn't disturb everybody. They can leave quietly. Shouldn't talk and disturb people. But it's not an obligation to stay for the khutbah. Also, it's from the sunnah for the imam to give wa'az or reminder to the women specifically. The Prophet ﷺ, he gave the khutbah to the men, and then he went to the women with Bilal with him, and he would give a special khutbah for the women on that day. Now, with that, the Eid Salah, some of the ulama consider it wajib. Many of the ulama, the stronger view, I believe, is that it's wajib, and others they said it was sunnah mu'akkada. Sunnah mu'akkada. If Eid falls on a Jummah, so do you have to attend both the Eid and the Jummah? If somebody attended the Eid prayer, then the Jummah Salah is optional on that day. They can attend if they want, they don't have to. It's optional. We had that last year, I believe. The Eid was on Jummah, so the Jummah is optional, but they still have to pray Dhuha. Can't skip out on Dhuha Salah. No, they still have to pray the Jummah. Rawahu Muslimun. Narrated by Imam Muslim. This hadith was narrated in the Sahih of Imam Muslim. وَنَحْوَهُ فِي مُتَّفَقْ عَلَيْهِ عَنْ إِبْنِ عَبَّاسِ وَغَيْرِ. So there's a similar narration narrated by Ibn Abbas. Same hadith, the same similar wording, but a different sahabi by Ibn Abbas. And that one is found in Bukhari. So you find, like, sometimes the same hadith will be narrated by more than one sahabi. More than one chain, they strengthen each other and make it even more authentic. Here, Jabir narrated the hadith, and Ibn Abbas narrated the hadith also. So it makes it much more stronger. Ibn Abbas. Abbas was the uncle of Prophet Muhammad. Ibn Abbas was the nephew of Prophet Muhammad. And he was one of the scholars. Ibn Abbas, he had a student named Mujahid. And Mujahid, Ibn Abbas was one of the greatest mufassirs of the Quran. He was called the translator of the Quran. So a lot of times when you find in the books of Tafsir, they say Mujahid said this, Mujahid said this, Mujahid said this. And that basically, Mujahid was a student of Ibn Abbas. So whenever Mujahid, they quote Mujahid a lot because he got the knowledge of the Tafsir from Ibn Abbas. And Ibn Abbas, he learned it from Prophet Muhammad. So he had his own school of Tafsir. Jabir also, he had a school of Tafsir. And he had other students. And you also find their names. So they were the students of the Sahaba, you know, and they find in the books of Tafsir a lot of things written about it. Because you know what the oldest Tafsir is? The oldest book of Tafsir? Tafsir of Imam al-Tabari.
Tabari,
that's the oldest Tafsir. Very, very old Tafsir. Okay, narrated by Ibn Abbas wa ghayrihi. And there was other Sahabas also that narrated this hadith. So another type of bid'ah is doing a good deed when the Prophet ﷺ left it out deliberately. The Prophet ﷺ, if it was expected for him to do something, but he didn't do it, so his not doing it is actually a sunnah. If he didn't do something, that might mean you're allowed to do it, you're not allowed. It's allowed. But sometimes if he left something out at a time when you would expect him to be done, then it became a sunnah not to do it at that time. So for example, they give the example of when a person comes to the masjid, the Prophet ﷺ, he didn't use a miswak when he entered the masjid, but he always used a miswak when he entered home. So they say it was expected to use the miswak when you're entering the masjid. So why did he leave it out? That means it's part of his sunnah not to do the miswak at entering the masjid. And perhaps there was a wisdom behind that, that if everybody stopped by the masjid and brushed their teeth, it wouldn't be appropriate. Allahu a'lam, Allah knows best. So sometimes when the Prophet ﷺ didn't do an action, there was a reason for it. He didn't do the adhan, for example, for Eid prayer. So if we do the adhan, then it would be an innovation at that time.
Any other congregations on the prayer? None of them have adhan.
The eclipse prayer has its own unique type of adhan. Salatu Jamia.
Salatu Jamia.
Yeah, prayer for rain. I don't know if there's an adhan for that. I don't think there's. I know for the eclipse prayer there is. Might be a difference of opinion about the rain prayer. No. Some ulama, they made it more flexible. They said you can say a Salatu Jamia for any of the other prayers too. Like the witr prayer, for example, there's no specific adhan. Sometimes the imam will say, al-witr athabakum Allah, so people know that they're praying witr. But there's no adhan for it. Taraweeh, there's no adhan for the salat of taraweeh. Now, alright, jazakumullah khairan. Inshallah, is that good for hadith, inshallah? Inshallah ta'ala, may Allah reward you. So you know, there's more than one opinion about those issues. Somebody, they make the Salat al-Jamia for Eid prayer, you shouldn't yell at them. Say, oh, why are you doing that? Because there is an opinion. Some of the ulama made analogy to the eclipse prayer, so there's some flexibility on that issue. So yeah, you know, sometimes some matters that people consider the innovations, but there might be reputable ulama that didn't consider it an innovation. So we don't want to hasten. For example, the tasbih, the what they call the dhikr, the beads that they use for the dhikr. So we shouldn't jump right away and say it's a bid'ah. Because actually you find that some sahaba, they counted rocks with the dhikr of Allah. So they made use of it when they did the dhikr of Allah. So the ulama, they say it's better to use the hand, because the Prophet used the hand. It's further away from showing off. But we shouldn't say that the dhikr, the beads is bid'ah, because there are some sahaba that use the stones to count the dhikr of Allah. So always a person has to refer to the ulama, not hasten to make a judgment on that, on things, inshallah. Inshallah ta'ala. Jazakallah khair. Any other questions you brothers have? Jazakallah khair. May Allah reward you. صلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم ولا تقبل منا الله تعالى على الله نوز بس إن شاء الله